Book 17. Chapter 2. Concerning Zamaris, the Babylonian Jew. Concerning the plots laid by Antipater against his father, and somewhat about the Pharisees. And now it was that Herod, being desirous of securing himself on the side of the Trachonites, resolved to build a village as large as a city for the Jews in the middle of that country, which might make his own country difficult to be assaulted, and whence he might be at hand to make sallies upon them, and do them a mischief. Accordingly, when he understood that there was a man that was a Jew come out of Babylon, with 500 horsemen, all of whom could shoot their arrows as they rode on horseback, and, with 100 of his relations, had passed over Euphrates, and now abode at Antioch by Daphne of Syria, where Saturninus, who was then president, had given them a place for habitation, called Balatha, he sent for this man, with the multitude that followed him, and promised to give him land in the toparchy called Batanea, which country is bounded with Trachonitis, as desirous to make that his habitation a guard to himself. He also engaged to let him hold the country free from tribute, and that they should dwell entirely without paying such customs as used to be paid, and gave it him tax-free. The Babylonian was reduced by these offers to come hither. So he took possession of the land, and built in it fortresses and a village, and named it Bathyra, whereby this man became a safeguard to the inhabitants against the Trachonites, and preserved those Jews who came out of Babylon to offer their sacrifices at Jerusalem from being hurt by the Trachonite robbers, so that a great number came to him from all those parts where the ancient Jewish laws were observed, and the country became full of people, by reason of their universal freedom from taxes. This continued during the life of Herod. But when Philip, who was tetrarch after him, took the government, he made them pay some small taxes, and that for a little while only. And Agrippa the Great, and his son of the same name, although they harassed them greatly, yet would they not take their liberty away. From whom, when the Romans have now taken the government into their own hands, they still gave them the privilege of their freedom, but oppressed them entirely with the imposition of taxes. Of which matter I shall treat more accurately in the progress of this history. At length Zamaris the Babylonian, to whom Herod had given that country for a possession, died, having lived virtuously, and left children of a good character behind him, one of whom was Jacim, who was famous for his valor, and taught his Babylonians how to ride their horses, and a troop of them were guards to the forementioned kings. And when Jacim was dead in his old age, he left a son, whose name was Philip, one of great strength in his hands, and in other respects also more eminent for his valor than any of his contemporaries, on which account there was a confidence and firm friendship between him and King Agrippa. He had also an army which he maintained, as great as that of a king, which he exercised and led wheresoever he had occasion to march. When the affairs of Herod were in the condition I have described, all the public affairs depended upon Antipater, and his power was such that he could do good turns to as many as he pleased, and this by his father's concession, in hopes of his good will and fidelity to him. And this till he ventured to use his power still further, because his wicked designs were concealed from his father, and he made him believe everything he said. He was also formidable to all, not so much on account of the power and authority he had, as for the shrewdness of his vile attempts beforehand. But he who principally cultivated a friendship with him was Pheroras, who received the like marks of his friendship, while Antipater had cunningly encompassed him about by a company of women, whom he placed as guards about him, for Pheroras was greatly enslaved to his wife, and to her mother, and to her sister, and this notwithstanding the hatred he bare them for the indignities they had offered to his virgin daughters. Yet did he bear them, and nothing was to be done without the women, who had got this man into their circle, and continued still to assist each other in all things, insomuch that Antipater was entirely addicted to them, both by himself and by his mother, for these four women said all one and the same thing. But the opinions of Pheroras and Antipater were different in some points of no consequence. but the king's sister, Salome, was their antagonist, who for a good while had looked about all their affairs, and was apprised that this their friendship was made in order to do Herod some mischief, and was disposed to inform the king of it. And since these people knew that their friendship was very disagreeable to Herod, as tending to do him a mischief, they contrived that their meetings should not be discovered. So they pretended to hate one another, and to abuse one another when time served, and especially when Herod was present, or when any one was there that would tell him. But still their intimacy was firmer than ever when they were private. And this was the course they took. But they could not conceal from Salome neither their first contrivance, when they set about these their intentions, nor when they had made some progress in them, but she searched out everything, and, aggravating their relations to her brother, declared to him as well their secret assemblings and compotations as their counsels taken in a clandestine manner, which, if they were not in order to destroy him, they might well enough have been open and public. But to appearance they are at variance, and speak about one another as if they intended one another a mischief, but agree so well together when they are out of the sight of the multitude. For when they are alone by themselves, they act in concert, and profess that they will never leave off their friendship, but will fight against those from whom they conceal their designs. And thus did she search out these things, and get a perfect knowledge of them, and then told her brother of them, who understood also of himself a great deal of what she said, but still durst not depend upon it, because of the suspicions he had of his sister's calumnies. For there was a certain sect of men that were Jews, who valued themselves highly upon the exact skill they had in the law of their fathers, and made men believe they were highly favored by God, by whom this set of women were inveigled. These are those that are called the sect of the Pharisees, who were in a capacity of greatly opposing kings. A cunning sect they were, and soon elevated to a pitch of open fighting and doing mischief. Accordingly, when all the people of the Jews gave assurance of their good will to Caesar, and to the king's government, these very men did not swear, being above 6,000. And when the king imposed a fine upon them, Pheroras's wife paid their fine for them, in order to requite which kindness of hers, since they were believed to have the foreknowledge of things to come by divine inspiration, they foretold how God had decreed that Herod's government should cease, and his posterity should be deprived of it, but that the kingdom should come to her and Pheroras, and to their children. These predictions were not concealed from Salome, but were told the king, as also how they had perverted some persons about the palace itself. So the king slew much of the Pharisees as were principally accused, and Bagoas the eunuch, and one Carus, who exceeded all men of that time in comeliness, and one that was his catamite. He slew also all those of his own family who had consented to what the Pharisees foretold, and for Bagoas he had been puffed up by them, as though he should be named the father and the benefactor of him who, by the prediction, was foretold to be their appointed king, for that this king would have all things in his power, and would enable Bagoas to marry, and to have children of his own body begotten.